This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Concerns about a name storm happening in the next couple of days that could affect your Labor Day plans, even worse, could affect your neighborhood. So hang on, depends on where you live and what happens with some of these storms. In the meantime, lots of conversations still about Mar-a-Lago and what happened there. It was heading into the weekend, that the redactions were released, big chunks of it, as I predicted, and anyone would have thought the same thing in looking at the release of what the Department of Justice wanted blocked out. It just is black lines. You're looking at a title and then some black lines. But what does it mean to the former president who wants to run for president again? There's lots and lots of conversation, as you can imagine, about that. And some people think, imagine this, the Department of Justice can't be trusted. Others think the Department of Justice was on the right track. Isn't that where we always are in this country? My name's Kate Delaney once again. Thanks for hanging with us, hoping that we don't see any horrific storm happen over the Labor Day weekend. But there are definitely some predictions for that very thing to take place. And part of the reason is because there's some of these storms that are forming that look as though they could hit some of the areas that are the usual places for those things to happen, like the Gulf region and certainly in parts of the southeast. And then even in the northeast, there's some conversation about that. And it's all about looking into some of these weather systems that are out there that are laying siege to the possibility of these storms. And it's always so vague, right? When we look out into the Gulf of Mexico and further out, much further out, this is what's developing, and this could affect your weekend plans. But it could affect your weekend plans. I just looked at the latest model, and some of the storms could hit even the Midwest and a flood risk to the South. You're not even safe there. So the National Hurricane Center is watching four big areas. Two have a shot of affecting the U.S. on Labor Day weekend. The main area is still way out in the Atlantic, but it has the best chance of becoming the next named storm, and that storm would be Danielle. And it's where the motion happens and the system. There's a kind of this gradual development of the system that's expected in the next couple of days. And the Hurricane Center is giving it a 50% chance of becoming a tropical storm within the next 48 hours, 80% chance of a formation within the next 5 days. But looking at the model right now, the storm is staying north of the Leeward Islands. So that would mean it could make a curve to the northeast and stay out to sea. There would be riptides and that kind of thing, but you wouldn't have any kind of a land touch down. And that would be a very, very good thing, that if that's what you get compared to what it could turn into, right? No direct hit. I think that's what you hope for. No direct hit. So you get gusty winds and rip currents at the beaches, but it's offshore, offshore. Now, in the Caribbean, the Hurricane Center is monitoring an area in the Western Caribbean for potential development. And depending on those conditions, it could move over the northwest Caribbean Sea toward the Yucatan Peninsula of Mexico has only a 20% chance of development during the next 5 days. But it's something to look at. And even if it doesn't develop, it could enhance rain in Texas because it's going to put extra moisture into the air. So the potential is there. Then, sadly, that potential could be for flooding in Texas, right? So it's watching these storms to see where they hit and if there's going to be moisture, if there's going to be wind, if it's going to be much worse and bring in something else like a cat, whatever, some kind of hurricane. But it's the forecast is so far out. The models show rain for the Gulf Coast, and it would continue through the Labor Day weekend. Most of the showers and storms would stay across much of Texas and Louisiana's coasts. If you tuned in, you think, what is this, the Weather Channel? This show is about the buzz in your backyard and mine, and this will affect many people. And it could affect you as far as where your travel is, where you're going, if anywhere, over the Labor Day holiday. It is a big time to travel, so there will be people that will be going to some of these beachy locations that could be affected by this, right? So the Justice Department is saying that they only found a limited set of documents that are potentially protected by, I guess, in looking at this, attorney-client privilege. And what's interesting is so much of what was released as to why there was another I'll call it DOJ shakedown at Mar-a-Lago in looking for documents is because of what there was that led the affidavit for the search warrant, and so much of it is redacted, making any kind of a educated guess, because then there's just talking heads everywhere talking about it. I think it's pretty tough, right? And some of those documents would be covered by attorney-client privilege. So there's a lot of, there's a lot of speculation as to what's underneath the redacted part of what was released. And didn't we know this was going to happen? I mean, look, if you have a document that you want to know what was spelled out in this that made that so heavy-handed when it came to the search at Mar-a-Lago, good luck it's like trying to find Waldo. Good luck trying to find that, because it's just black lines all over the page. I mean, they blacked out everything, saying protecting witnesses and all of the above, but it doesn't. There aren't any things in looking at it that point to how do you analyze it? How do you read the return of that? And you really can't. I guess that was the idea, because you don't know what led to an easy sign-off on it. And there's nothing, my friends, but speculation. So speaking of speculation, the president isn't speculating. He is going to deliver a primetime speech on what he's calling the battle for democracy on Thursday outside Independence Hall in Philadelphia. The White House announced that on Monday. A major address just 2 months before the midterm elections. What will that be all about? It's got to be, I'm assuming, about the upcoming elections. How about that? All right, hang with us.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to mysolarbackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's mysolarbackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at mysolarbackup.com.
Are you watching your retirement savings melt away right in front of your eyes as the economy crumbles? Well, if you have an IRA, 401k, or similar account, I need to tell you about a better way that was revealed by a Wall Street Journal best-selling book. Simply put, you can opt out of the insanity and convert your existing retirement account into the most stable physical asset in history, physical gold and silver. Plus, this conversion might qualify you for an IRS loophole that could save you even more. Today, Advantage Gold is giving away a completely free audiobook version of the national bestseller, Gold is a Better Way. Just text the word better to 48542 to get your copy. That's BETTER to 48542. By the time you drive home, this simple step may save the future value of your retirement. It's not too late if you're not prepared. You can take action now and claim a free copy. Text the word better to 48542. That's BETTER to 48542. Message and data rates may apply.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Pouty Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So, it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. drinksupertea.com.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
He's in a virtual green room. In fact, his book is called Da Vinci's Mental Code. Palibor, thanks for coming on.
Oh, thanks for having me. You're welcome.
So tell us about the book. What made you write this book? How'd you come up with it?
That's a great question. It involves my whole life. So to a certain point, about 5 years ago, that I was wondering why, after a certain family crisis, in my family, why my mother, when she was 10, was so concerned about the masculine and feminine duality within her that I read about in her memoirs maybe 20 years ago, but re-reviewing it after the family crisis in 2017.
Wow, and so that led you to this, looking at these ideas, right? Looking at what is it that we're seeing? I mean, so tell us more about that and what we can expect in the book.
Thank you. Yeah, basically, if there was anything out there to communicate with me, say my mother, she passed 30 years ago, whether it's her or whatever, Lorna Byrne, however people talk to angels, there's a lady, Lorna Byrne, who claims she sees angels. I was reading different books like this. If there's anything out there, please help me understand why my mother, she was diagnosed manic depressive before she died. And I've known I've had a bipolar mind since I was 16, and I'm 48 now. So the discovery would have been 5 years ago when I was 43. And basically, all of a sudden, I'm asking this, thinking about it, because there was a big it had to do with my father and realizing he may be suffering from social pathology, given how dishonest he was dealing with my brother in a horrible situation with family. And I guess you could either call it prayer or meditation. And all of a sudden, honestly, I'm looking at the Vitruvian Man, a schematic of Leonardo da Vinci, which at that point I did not even know by name. So I may seem a bit emotional about it because, it was quite a situation. So all of a sudden I'm looking at the Vitruvian Man. So I don't want to hog the mic here, but but it led to realizations. Like, I don't want to say it's connected to anything other than some sort of realization, or maybe I was meditating and I just noticed a lot of duality in the Vitruvian Man, which I've never seen anybody else talk about. Having to do with his eyes. His left eye is comparatively a lot darker than his right eye. And that might have to do with an angel sitting historically on the left shoulder whispering into the left. A devil is sitting on the left shoulder, you know, the old analogy or the old tale, where an angel might be sitting on the right shoulder, whispering in the right ear, and the little devil whispering in the left ear. Like, literally, like, I wasn't thinking about that at the time, but later tying it to that, where anybody can pull up an image of the Vitruvian Man on the internet, zoom in the face, and see the left eye is comparatively a lot more dark than the right eye. So that was just one discovery. And in the end, I wondered if his head tilted to the right. Can you imagine that? I split the circle down the middle, right down the middle, and his head is tilting to his right. So that's a fact. Nobody can deny that. And if anybody thinks a man
And so in the book, that's what you talk about. You look at these themes, and you really invite people to look at that. And what do you see?
Yeah, it's really a book to ask questions and then discuss possible answers. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's interesting. If we were to sum it up in a sentence or two, and you know, you're talking to a friend and you're saying, "Listen, I wrote this book, and it's powerful, Da Vinci's Mental Code." What would you say?
I would say that there's a it's largely about duality, whether you want to call it good or evil, light or dark. I think all the ancient, in a sentence, I would say check out Dr. Ian McGilchrist right now, who has a hemispheric theory that says in the end, the right hemisphere is always right, and the left hemisphere has more to do with us in the physical world, where we have to defend ourselves within any given competitive hierarchy or whatever social structure we exist in. But in the end, it might not be as exciting, but it might involve more suffering. But in the end, the right hemisphere holds all the answers. And that's Dr. Ian McGilchrist. This guy he's a psychiatrist and scholar. I would say in the end, check out my book, and it could possibly be tied to he's arguably a modern-day polymath. You know, a lot of people think he's really great.
Yeah, it's
but
it's
in
interesting.
A sense, that's difficult. That's a great question, though.
Here's what I would say. And one of the things that you talk about, what best describes the story, power centers corruption.
Yeah.
That's one of the things you said to me. Yeah.
Well, that's why you're a pro. And you did it.
that's what it is. So when it's really, there's some really provocative things. And when you read it, you're like, oh, wow, I never looked at it that way. And that's what I think it is. That's what really pops out to you.
Yeah.
For sure.
In one thing, if you want to think of duality, we call it good and evil, light and dark. You know, the ancient Buddhists call it annihilationism, eternalism. The ancient Greeks called it above and below. The New Agers call it positive and negative, yin and yang in ancient Chinese. I think we're all talking about the same thing, but the most provocative thing might be, new idea is circle versus triangle. And if you look at the Vitruvian Man, this is where it came from. Shaded around his left eye is an inverted equilateral triangle. I mean, it's right there. It's the perimeter outline. You can check it out. Anybody can zoom in. It's not. I did not include any pictures in my book, but literally, go to the Wikipedia page. It's the best picture to zoom in on the Vitruvian Man's face. There's literally an inverted equilateral triangle shaded around his left eye, and around his right eye is a more circular shape. So this might be a sacred geometric approach to looking at duality, where it's an equilateral triangle versus circle. Who knows? Because how many times have you seen the image of a equilateral triangle and a circle? People flash it. I think it's one of the most untalked about versions of a way to look at duality. It might be a sacred geometric approach. My book discusses this.
Yeah,
but it's not me. It's Leonardo da Vinci, and
I had no
concern about the Vitruvian Man my whole life. I was a jock. I was a sports geek growing up. I was a golf pro. I stopped being a golf pro about 15 years ago. I throughout my life, the Vitruvian Man has been flashed in my face. You know, the image with the Leonardo da Vinci's iconic Vitruvian Man. I'm sure it's been flashed in your face and all of our faces for whatever reason. Maybe that's why it popped into my mind during that meditation. I have no idea. But if you look at the left eye, just check it out. Zoom in. Check it out.
Right, and you'll see it. Yeah. Interesting themes on the duality. And, okay, so this book you can get on Amazon, Da Vinci's Mental Code, Palliur Iverson. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Again, website, DaVinciMentalCode.com. Thanks.
Thank you very much for the opportunity to talk about this.
All right, speaking of looking at things differently, Tiger Woods and Rory McIlroy are launching a tech-infused golf league. They're going to partner with the PGA Tour. They'll have players competing on 6 three-man teams in 15 regular season matches and a playoff starting in January of 2024. And you say, what? They're going after the Saudi-backed tour. So they're saying, we can be the new sexy. This new league, TGL, is going to feature apparently 2-hour, 18-hole matches on a virtual course. So they're going to take place in prime time on Monday nights in a custom-made venue. They haven't determined that location, but they did throw out some renderings of it. There's going to be a simulator that players will hit longer shots into with an authentic green area for chipping and putting. Putting, rather, not punting. That would be interesting if they punted. Different sport. The matches would probably be played between January and April, and each of the 6 teams will compete 5 times during the 15-week schedule. McIlroy said Woods planned to compete in the matches. Woods played in only 3 tournaments this year because he had those serious injuries from the car wreck. He's wildly popular. He would make a very big difference. So technology to create a unique environment to move, they say, the sport into prime time on a consistent basis with so many of sport's biggest events. So blending golf with technology. And like I said, it's another way to go after the live tour or the events anyway, because it's really an event-driven thing. And come up with something completely different. I wonder if it'll work. I mean, would you tune in to watch them on this whole virtual scenario? I mean, they've got some time to make it right. That's why they're not launching, I'm sure. They couldn't launch it right away, but until 2024. But it could be a really great opportunity for these golfers to show different sides of themselves, and it would give the golf world some brand exposure and see if they can get a younger audience, because you know that's always the whole thing about how old is the audience when it comes to the game of golf. Oh yeah, it's always interesting, isn't it? I don't know, I've done that simulated golf thing. I'm not very good at it, but I'm not a pro. Stay with us.
Three ring circus calling my telephone.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm about to give you a URL that can and will change your life. Simply investigate it and look into it for your own self. Do your own research. This is an absolute 360 win for GCN, for American Tax Solutions, and for you. Ladies and gentlemen, these are top tax lawyers that will deliver you super service very, very quickly and change your life. The average person can save up to 90% on their taxes. Visit GCNTaxCut.com. That's GCNTaxCut.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
USA Radio News with Kenneth Burns.
A grocery store worker in Central Oregon is being hailed as a hero. The gunman was firing as he entered a Safeway in Bend. An 84-year-old customer was killed at the entrance. The shooter continued to spray shots until confronted by the worker. Police spokeswoman Sheila Miller says he was shot in the rear of the store in the produce section.
He has been identified as Donald Ray Surratt Jr., a 66-year-old Bend resident. Surratt engaged with the shooter, attempted to disarm him, and may very well have prevented further deaths.
The gunman has also been identified. His name is Ethan Blair Miller. The 20-year-old died from a self-inflicted gunshot wound. Police later found three Molotov cocktails and a sawed-off shotgun in his car. On Wall Street, the Dow fell 184 points. The NASDAQ fell 124 points. The S&P 500 was off by 27. This is USA Radio News. The Justice Department said in a court filing that it has completed its review of potentially privileged documents seized from former President Trump's Florida estate earlier this month. It said in the filing it has identified, quote, a limited set of materials that potentially contain attorney-client privileged information. Over the weekend, a federal judge indicated that she would appoint a special master who would oversee the review of documents taken by the government, ensuring that Trump's legal privilege was protected. That matter might be moved based on the Justice Department's filing. An influential Shiite cleric announced he would be stepping away from Iraqi politics. That prompted hundreds of Muqtada al-Sadr's followers to storm the government palace and clash with security forces. At least 15 protesters were killed. Dozens more were hurt by gunfire, tear gas, and physical altercations. A nationwide curfew is now in effect. Online at usaradio.com, you are listening to USA Radio News.
I need answers to my tax questions. Where can I find them?
Need answers? Try our interactive tax assistant on irs.gov/ITA. Simply select your tax questions, provide your information, and it gives you answers. Also, check our help and resources page and try our online tax map. 5,000 tax topics from A to Z. Plus, you can access forms, publications in a variety of formats.
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811, brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
To a place called Wellington, New South Wales, and introduce you to a really interesting woman who is, I think, going to capitalize on something that makes me laugh out loud, and I think it'll make some of you laugh out loud as well. Her name is Catherine Kennedy, and her book is called A Through Z of Animal Collectives. And think about what that means, and we're going to dive deeper into that. So, and you can get the book, by the way, on Amazon. And here's the other thing I love about Catherine. She spells her name the same way that I do. K-A-T-H-R-Y-N. So we know she's brilliant already before we even go to her in our virtual green room. Catherine, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks, Kate. Thank you. Good to be here.
What led you to writing this book? How did this get in your head?
Well, I'm a mum of five kids, and we take long car trips here in Australia all the time because everything's so far away. And the challenge for parents is trying to entertain their children on these long, boring car trips. So we started to play I Spy, and soon enough they got very bored with that. So we started a game of groups of animals called. And we came up with a few, but there were so many that stumped us. So when we got to our destination, I researched it a little bit, and I actually tried to find a book that I could buy the kids to explain animal collectives to them, and I couldn't find one anywhere. So that kind of inspired me to write one.
So you said about writing it, and then while you're doing the research for that, it had to be interesting to come up with or realize what some of the names were. And you and I were talking off the air, and you said it did make you just laugh out loud.
It did. Well, writing the book was my mum time. So I'd put all the kids to bed, and then I'd sit with my laptop and I'd do my research, and And quite often I'd be in fits of giggles and, you know, one of the kids would come out and say, "What's wrong, Mummy?" Well, I was just in hysterics about the names of these animal collectives. They're quite unique. And I sort of questioned, well, who comes up with these? Where did they come from? So I researched that as well. And it's just an interesting part of our language, I think.
Yeah, so tell us about that. Tell us about where collectives come from. You know, well, again, you go way back in history when you talk about that.
Yeah, way back in history. So in the English culture, throughout the 14 and 1500s, that was the aristocracy mainly. One of their main pastimes was hunting. So it became signified a person's wit and humour and education if they could come up with these peculiar names for groups of things or animals in particular. The animal collectives originally they were called terms of ventry, and they were mostly around hunted animals. When I researched it, there was a woman in the 15th century called Julia Berners, and she wrote a book called The Book of Hawking, Hunting and Blasting of Arms. And within that book, she quoted about 146 animal collective nouns, which were absolutely hysterical. And the professors and the linguists at Oxford University adapted those collective nouns into our modern language, and they became the collective nouns we now use for groups of animals. So that's the history of it, which I found fascinating and very funny.
Yeah, I find it fascinating, too, and very, very funny. And in your book, you have some really funny, funny moments in it. Tell us, as you were doing this, some of what you tripped on to. Like, I know oysters was one of them.
Oysters, yes, oysters. I just had a vision of these tiny little oysters all in their beds, tucked up with their blankets around them. So it's a group of oysters is called a bed of oysters. I love the letter O because it deals with oysters and owls, and owls is a parliament, which I also found quite funny.
A parliament of owls.
Parliament of owls, and we have a parliament here in Australia, which parliament of owls kind of denotes a whole group of very wise people. But in America, you have a congress, and a congress of in my book is a congress of baboons, so it's quite a contradiction from Australian Parliament to American Parliament.
Boy, no kidding. Maybe we better go back to Parliament. That might make more sense. Wow, and yes. So there's so much the kids will learn by reading this.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, the book is it's written in verse. So it's rhyming, and there's a lot of rhythm throughout the prose. And I've, with my experience with my own children, reading books to them, kids love rhythm and rhyme in books, and they love to hear almost a musical sound. So I found a lot of these verses that they can almost be sung. They've got a very rhythm, very much a rhythm about them. They're very funny. So, the kids and the adults reading the books to them can connect through the humour, which I find is a great thing for human connection.
What did your kids think of their mom writing this book? What did they think?
Well, kids are pretty blasé about everything. They just kind of said, "Oh, yeah, that's cool, Mum." I don't think they really believed it until we actually got sent the first copies.
And for you to get the first copies, how neat was that?
It was so exciting. It was so exciting. I mean, Kate, if I didn't sell one single copy of this book, I didn't care. The fact that I had a hard copy book in my hand that I'd written and had published was such an accomplishment for me. So it was that was a win in itself.
Yeah. I think we were talking about it, but what do you hope people take away from reading, getting these books? It's a great gift for really a baby shower, kids, your own kids, your grandkids, your nieces, your nephews. I mean, it could go in any direction, A through Z of animal collectives. What do you hope the takeaway is for most people who read the book?
Well, I hope, firstly, that it connects adult and children readers and gives gives kids time to read with adults. And often we don't do that in this day and age. We're connected to screens all the time, and not very many parents sit down and read stories anymore. So I'm hoping that that opens up that connection again for reading. And I hope people get a laugh out of it. I hope they're joined in the humour of it. And I also hope that reading the book, people get from it that if there's something in the world that that they can't find, that they can create one, that we have the possibility to do that. We just have to believe in ourselves. So, yeah.
I like that. So you can create it. That's a great message. And you're not done creating. You've got another book coming up. Tell us about that one.
I have. This one is the A to Z of Baby Animals. So it's in the same genre, and I'm writing the book in verse again, so with a lot of humour. So I'm hoping that one follows in this one's footsteps and is widely accepted and liked.
I've got to think you have probably ponies in there somewhere.
We'll definitely have ponies in there. One thing I didn't include in this book, which I only just found out about in the last week, actually, was unicorns. There's actually a collective noun for unicorns, which I didn't even know I would have put it in the book.
What is the collective noun?
A blessing of unicorns.
Now you've told the world it's great. A blessing of unicorns.
Of unicorns. How precious is that?
I love it. Well, you can get the book, of course, on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever great books are sold. Catherine Kennedy, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you very much for having me, Kate.
So interesting, Catherine's book and talking about animal collectives. And, you know, there's even a band. I was remembering this. I'm sure she knows this, too. There's an even a pop band that was in the early 2000s called Animal Collective that actually was pretty popular. And it made me think, wow, how'd they come up with that name? But, you know, it's like you think of what is a collection of crows? And I started to think about this. It's a murder. It's called a murder. Someone said that one time to me, and I was like, what? And then, what is sloths? I just was at, well, it's actually been a while, but I used to go constantly to Dallas's aquarium. They have an aquarium, but the aquarium is more like being actually in South America, right? And they have a sloth. And this is sloth that everybody talks about. Well, what is a collective of sloths? Anybody know what that is? That'd be a good question. That'd be a good trivia question, but I'm going to give you the answer to it. Because it's kind of like when I do the New York Times puzzle and I can't think of what the word is, I'm not going to make you wait. So Catherine would appreciate this. It's a bed. A bed. A crowd of sloths is a bed. I had no idea. The name that I was coming up with, the strange name that I was coming up with, was just like, I have a whole list of them. And we're going to have fun with this, too, by the way, in the upcoming weeks as we go along, which I think she'll appreciate that, too. It's like, what's a collective of boars? Sounder. Did you know that? Yeah. There's some that are obvious that we know, but there's some that are not obvious. Like I had no idea, and I have such a love for giraffes. I just had that chance to go and see the giraffes at Fossil Rim, and it's an incredible place. It's like being in Africa, and it's in Glen Rose, Texas, and giraffes, for a collective of giraffes, it's a tower. Yeah. See if you can stump me with one. Kate, and I promise I won't look it up, kate@katelaneyradio.com. She got us thinking, absolutely. All right, stay with us, everybody.
Ever feel
feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Poudiarco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So, it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. drinksupertea.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Let's face it, food shortages are a real threat now. Supply chain breakdowns, inflation, fuel prices, global conflicts, fertilizer cutbacks, farmers being encouraged not to plant. The stage is set for the peanut butter to hit the fan. But for some reason, Americans are still in denial about food shortages. Listen, we don't take risks with other things in our lives, so why take risks with your food security? Those who know what's coming are using today to prepare. Millions of Americans have purchased Ready Hour emergency food from My Patriot Supply, the brand people look for when they're ready for real preparedness. MyPatriotSupply.com is America's largest preparedness company. Get stocked up on emergency food that lasts up to 25 years in storage to get you through tough times ahead. Your other choice is to stand in government food lines, hoping for a handout. As we both know, that's not an option. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Just in case you missed some of what I was talking about earlier at the top of this hour and this show, a couple of big things. Student loans. How about that forgiveness? Boy, it has elicited a lot of reaction, negative and positive. So Joe Biden announced on Wednesday the plans to address the student loan debt. We knew this was coming. I talked about it the other day. I've talked about it last week. I've talked about it many times. But this is the specifics. They're going to cancel about $32 billion of the $1.6 trillion in outstanding federal student debt by expanding existing forgiveness programs for public sector workers, disabled borrowers, students who were defrauded by for-profit colleges. There were a lot of those. And how much forgiveness will they get? The amount of debt canceled depends on whether the borrower, check this out, got a Pell Grant to attend college. A federal Pell Grant is only given to undergraduate students who display exceptional financial need and they haven't earned a bachelor's, a graduate, or any kind of professional degree. And so it doesn't have to be repaid except under certain circumstances. You can find that definition anywhere. So individual borrowers, this is the specific part of this that you have to know. Individual borrowers who make less than $125,000 yearly and married couples or heads of households who make less than $250,000 yearly will have up to $10,000 of their federal student loan debt forgiven if they did not receive a Pell Grant as an undergraduate student. Wow. So what happens now? 8 million borrowers might be able to get this debt forgiveness because the Department of Education already has their income information. So they're going to launch an application in the next coming weeks for borrowers to provide their income information, or if they're unsure if the department has their income already, blah, blah, blah. The application's available before the federal student loan repayment pause ends on December 31st. So this is really big. You know, how many people will take advantage of it? What does it mean? What about for borrowers with loan balances of $12,000 or less? Loan balances will be forgiven after 10 years of payments instead of the current 20-year. So there's going to be a lot of people that will benefit from it, but there's a lot of people that are furious about it because they had to pay. And they're saying this isn't fair, this is ridiculous, and this is more money out the window. And I did an unofficial poll on this show, and typical of this audience, it pretty much was 50-50. In some ways, I was surprised by that. Now, this is, again, unscientific, and there was actually 22 of you that chimed in that short 24-hour period. So, first of all, congratulations that so many people reached out, but that's how it ran. It was pretty much 50-50. Yeah. All right, the other thing I wanted to talk about is the Vanessa Bryant lawsuit over Kobe Bryant's crash scene photos. I did a lot of media on this because I interviewed Kobe Bryant several times. He was from Philadelphia, like me, different areas, but his father was a big name. And like I said, I had covered him and known him from that, so people wanted different opinions, I guess, about him, etc. And I did a lot of television, a lot of radio. And one of the things that always stuck out to me was how ridiculous I thought it was that these photos, very graphic photos, were out there, boom, when it happened. And I wondered right away, was she even contacted? So you have 9 federal jurors. They started deliberating Wednesday in that civil case over these graphic photos taken at the site of the helicopter crash that killed not just Kobe Bryant, but his daughter Gianna as well, and 7 others. So the deliberations began shortly after an attorney for the Los Angeles County argued that the trial is a pictures case with no pictures, saying that the gruesome photos of human remains have never actually been seen by the public or even the plaintiffs, and said no pictures is good. No pictures means no public dissemination, no risk of other people making mistakes. But in the rebuttal, Bryant's attorney argued the actions of the county in taking the photos were completely reckless, inhumane, and caused emotional distress. So the trial is against LA County, the Sheriff's Department, Fire Department, and others, and it's centered on the photos of the remains taken at the crash that killed Kobe Bryant, like I said, his daughter, and then the others that were involved in it. And, of course, the National Transportation Safety Board determined, and we all know this, right, that the helicopter pilot pushed the limits of bad flying weather rules before he crashed right into a hillside in Calabasas, California. And the argument for Vanessa Bryant and her attorney is, again, the emotional distress. It violated their constitutional rights. The attorneys asked the jury for damages of up to $42.5 million for Bryant and $32.5 million for Chester, which, of course, Chester is someone else that was involved in it. So, wow, witnesses during the trial included a deputy who said he showed graphic images from the scene while at a bar, another deputy who said he shared photos while playing a video game, a deputy who sent dozens of photos to someone he didn't know, and a fire official who showed the images to other personnel during an awards ceremony cocktail hour. Wow. And so you think about what happened there, then you think about the California governor, Gavin Newsom, who signed an invasion of privacy bill, called it the Kobe Bryant Act, that makes it illegal for first responders to share photos of dead people at a crime scene for any purpose other than an official law enforcement purpose. So the misdemeanor crime is punishable by up to $1,000 per violation. Anyway, what happens here could really, I think, impact other cases as laws do, as decisions do, in other cases where photos are shared. I mean, have you ever jumped on Twitter and seen some horrible wreck? Have you seen somebody covered over? I mean, how far would that limit go? But I thought it was ridiculous that they had no idea, and those photos were everywhere. And my friend who lives right next to Calabasas called me immediately and said she couldn't believe what she was seeing because she's there in Los Angeles. And, of course, the Bryants live in that area. So just a terrible, sad thing all the way around. All right, so student loans was big. The Bryant thing, I think, is a very, very big thing. And then, of course, Independence Day in the Ukraine. Once again, a deadly missile. So there was an attack on a train station that killed at least 22 in Ukraine. 6 months into the war, we've seen different emotions. We've seen a humanitarian outpouring. We've seen so many people try to figure out what can we do in this jigsaw puzzle. And this was a big day for Ukraine. There was warnings to be careful, but how careful can you be? How do you know where a bomb is going to be? So, of course, the country voted 31 years ago to break from the Soviet Union. And, of course, it was a somber affair. And then this missile strike on this train station in eastern Ukraine killed at least 22 people. Previous years, celebrations, parades, commemorations, none of that. Across the country, Ukrainians paid tribute to those who have been killed in the military action since the invasion began, and it's just incredibly sad. I mean, in the capital, in Kyiv, President Zelensky and his first lady, Zelensky, that's what they call her, visited the memorial wall of fallen defenders of Ukraine. That's what they call it. It's in a western city, and there were some really emotional family members of soldiers that were at a small ceremony that was there at the Field of Mars. So, you know, this is the never-ending situation. That's what I'm calling it. It's a sick, twisted, never-ending situation. And I saw some of those photos from that train station, and there's no question. I mean, it blew it apart. I mean, it was just absolutely horrific. So that's what's happening there, and that's part of the buzz in the land. People are talking about that. All right, the other thing that I didn't mention at the top is all of the speculation in the Twitter sphere and everywhere else about House of Dragon, which is HBO's new prequel to its blockbuster series, which I loved. Remember, I went to Ireland. I was so fortunate. Game of Thrones. I saw where they filmed it. I saw the sound studios. So it premiered. Fans and critics are comparing notes about how it stacks up. And is it a nonsensical story? Does it make sense? Does it focus on one thread of it? I sort of don't want to spoil it for everybody because I was such a huge Game of Thrones fan. I think it's very hard to do a prequel and do a prequel well, by the way. And there is some Easter eggs, so there were some things I liked. I have to really kind of let it sink in to give you a better opinion of it because I am a fan. And you'd have to have seen the Game of Thrones. To me, it wouldn't make any sense. I think you'd have to be a Game of Thrones fan. Then you go back and you decide, does this House of Dragon, does it really measure up? I mean, there are some cool moments in it because I was a loyal follower, and I think if you're a loyal follower, it does work. But if not, it might be quite difficult. All right, thanks to all of you for listening to this show. Make it count, everybody.
Hey guys, why settle for poor quality Powdiarco that's sold by stores and online resellers when you can get Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdiarco Super Tea at drinksupertea.com or 818-965-9113. The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdiarco Super Tea is only available at drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.